Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Dalet. We're holding at the very bottom, right at the Gemara, on the daf Mem Gimel Amud Beit. So the last thing that we had learned yesterday was that the Kohen Gadol, after he does the Shechit of the Par, he immediately does the Kabbalas Hadam. He has to hand over, that we saw in the previous Mishnah. Has to hand over the rest of the shechita to someone else to complete. He takes care of the dam, but problem is he's not zerik the dam right away because he has to do the ataras hakteres before the zrikas hadam. So then the question is, what prevents that dam from coagulating before he has a chance to be zerik? So we said that he hands it to somebody who stirs it, and the place that this person stands is, the quote the Mishnah says, Rovad Revi'it Shebeichal. It's on the fourth row of floor tiles of the marble inside of the Heichal. But the problem is, as the Gemara points out, the inside of the Heichal is not open for anybody else to be in. Ask the Gemara Vaktiv, V'chol Adam Lo Yeh Bo'o Mo'ed. Doesn't it say that no one is allowed to be in the Ohel Moed, bivo'o lechaper bakodesh ad seto, until the Kohen Gadol gets out of there, nobody's allowed in. So how could this person who is being appointed to do the stirring possibly be allowed to stand on the Rovad HaRaviyah Shebeichal? Omar, Rav Yehuda Tni Shel Heichal, doesn't mean of the Heichal, in the Heichal, it means of the Heichal, that is to say, counting from the Heichal. So starting counting from the Heichal, count four tiles, and that's where you would stand, close enough to the Heichal to be able to hand it over to the Kohen as soon as the Kohen is ready to take it. Tanu Rabbanan, let's take a look at that issur more closely. The idea that you're not allowed to be in there. I just want to mention, by the way, that it's not all that clear where this place is, because Rashi sort of skips the ulam. He says, Shelecha miskishiyotse min ha'echal la'azara. So now it isn't clear whether min ha'echal la'azara means from the doorway of the hechal towards the azara, which would still leave him in the middle of the ulam, or whether Rashi is counting the Kiddush of the Ulam and the Heichal as one thing, and when it says from the door of the Heichal, it means the Heichal Ulam, so to speak, Heichal slash Ulam, which brings him into the middle of the Azora, which is more likely. Okay, the fact is the Rishonim say both possibilities. All right, so now let's darsh in that pasuk. Tanu Rabbanan, Chol Adam Lo Yeh Be'ol Mo'ed. So no one is allowed to be in the Ohel Mo'ed. Now listen carefully to the pasuk. Bivo'o lechaper bakodesh. Now it doesn't say what kapara he's doing. Bivo'o lechaper bakodesh could mean anything, right? Ad seto. So the pasuk ends with the words v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito va'ad kol kahal Yisrael. Now it's not clear at all which kapara it's talking about over here. I mean, we're taking for granted that we're talking about the Ketoret, but that's not so clear. I mean, there's all the other Kaparas of Dam and so on. So, therefore, Yochel, first of all, what does it mean when it says Be'ol Moed? So, Yochel Afilu Ba'azara, you might think that that means you cannot be anywhere in the Azara. Talmud Lomar, Be'ol Moed, no, in the actual tent. Okay, maybe that means the Be'ol Moed in the Midbar. Because the Ohel Moed in the Midbar had a special Kedusha. After all, the Ohel Moed Shebe Midbar had the Kedusha of the Shemen HaMishcha. So maybe that gave it a particular din that nobody should be standing in there. How about in Shiloh? How about in the Beit HaMikdash? Is there the same Isser of being another person being present inside of the Heichal? Minayin. Tamud Lomar Bivo'o Lechaper Bakodesh. So that Bakodesh, I mean, obviously it's a Be'ol Moed, we have to say Bakodesh, must be coming to tell me any Mokum of Kodesh. Ein li ela b'sha'at haktara, b'sha'at matan damim minayin. I would have thought that this is only true if these Kohen is at that point being Makter Keteres. What makes you say that he would be even b'sha'as sprinkling the blood of the par of the Sawyer, that no one else is allowed to be there? Now, this is very strange, because as the Gemara is about to ask, what makes you think that? Did it say anything about the Ketores in the Pasuk? Not a word. It said Bavo'o L'chaper. What difference should there be between Bavo'o L'chaper in terms of Dam, or in terms of the Haktorah? But anyway, let's assume that we have good reason for this question. You might have think that it means Dafka B'sha'as of the Ketores. How do we know that B'sha'at Matan Damim of the Par and of the Sawyer, that also nobody's allowed to be there? Talmud Lomar Bavo'o L'chaper. And that would mean any kapara, which of course would include the dummy. Ainli elabik nisato. I might think that this is only when he's in his way in and he's standing in. How about if the Kohen is already on his way out? So at that point, would there also be an iser? Talmud lomar ad seto. If he's gone in to be mechaper, lichaper, then nobody's allowed to be there until the Kohen actually, Kohen Gadol actually leaves. What this means is that first, as we saw before, this means that we always do the kapara on him first. And this, according to most, is referring to the same idea that we said before. Yavo zakai v'chaper al chayav. So first, he does the kapara for himself. Then he does the kapara ba'ad beito. And then he does the kaparat echav hakohanim, and then when he comes to the Yisrael Mishtaleach, he does the kaparat kol kahal Yisrael. That's the passion of how to learn this, and it's referring back to the exactly what we've been talking over here, which is a reference to the various viduyim, which one comes first. Okay, that's the pashtas. Others learned that this is a din in general about kedima. So if there's a kapora, meaning an actual korban that's to be brought for himself, or that's to be brought for the Kohanim, or it's to be brought for Kol Yisrael, so it should go in that order of the stam, the overall dinim of kedima. Omarma, now, what you said before did not make sense to me. You said, I might think that you're only not allowed to be in there at the time of the haktorah. Where do you get that? It doesn't say one word about the Ketores in that pasuk. It says Bavo L'chaper. So why would we make such a strange assumption and then need to look closely at the pasuk and say the pasuk says Bavo L'chaper? That's the whole point. It only ever said Bavo L'chaper. So my mashma, Omar Rava, v'chein Omar Rav Yitzchak bar Barovedimi, v'chein Omar Rabbi Elazar. Note the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, "V'chiper ba'adova ad beitova ad kol kahal Yisrael." Tell me what you think that's referring to. If there, it's putting it all together. Is there such a thing? Is there a kapora, a single kapora, which is a kapora sheshave? It's the same kapora which is shava both for beit himself, lo lebeito lechav akani lechol kahal Yisrael. It can't be referring, can it, to the dam? Because over there, we know that there's a big difference between the kapora on the Kohanim and the kapora on the Kol Kahal Yisrael, which is from the Sora Mishtaleach. So, the Pasuk therefore seems to be saying that the above-mentioned Lo Yeh Ba'ol Moed is only where there is a single kapora that stretches over all of those levels of Lo, Beito, Echav HaKohanim, plus Kol Kahal Yisrael. Where is there such a kapora? Huh? The only thing it could be referring to is the ketoret. The ketoret is a single kapora that impacts everyone. Ketoret? The ketoret is a kapora? I thought the dam is the kapora. How did a ketoret, what is the ketoret mechaperanu? Ketoret mechaperet? Oh, absolutely, says the Gemara. It's a beferish aposik. Because as Rabbi Hanania pointed out in the Braita, Lamadnu lektoret shemechaperet shenemar vayitenet haktoret vayechaper al ha'am. You can't get clearer than that. So over here, at the time of Korach v'adato, where there was Yotza HaKetzef, so it says that Aaron puts down the ktoret and he's mechaper for everybody, and that stops the magefa. So obviously, if it's mechaper, then it doesn't say, what is mechaper on? I guess it's mechaper for whatever it is that Korach had done over here. in instigating this rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and in having non-kosher people being bringing the ketores. Ketana Devei, Rabbi Yishmael, Amma ketoret mechaperet. In fact, what it's mechaper on was a Lashon Hara. What was the Lashon Hara of Korach, says Rashi? That they said, Atem amitem etam Hashem. They blamed Moshe and Aaron for what it was that they themselves had caused. And that's Lashon Hara. Why do we say that Lashon Hara relates to the Ketoret? Yavo davar shebachashai, v'chaper al maaseh chashai. Something that is done in private, that's the Ketoret, which is brought over here, lefnai v'lefnim or lefnim, that type of thing should be mechaper on the type of avera that is usually done b'chashai, in secret. Because even though Lamaisa, obviously by Korach, wasn't literally in secret, but the whole concept of Lashon Hara is that it's this communication level which is secretive. And obviously the profound relationship between smell and the idea of Lashon Hara is so fundamental that we've seen all over. That's something that has a Shem Tov. It's because it's compared to smell, like we saw the way back from Avram Avinu, or like the Pasuk of Nir Din Natan Recho, which we've spoken about the Targum of that Pasuk. So the idea of being able to communicate, firmaments that communicate, by touching on something very deep in the brain, which of course is the nature of smell and the way that the detection of smell is by actual neurons, even though it's from the nose, but it's neurons of the brain in the nose, relates directly to the concept of Lashon Hara, or the idea of something's rotten in Denmark, or Murach V'Doyin, or the idea Bechlal of the ability to distinguish one thing from another, which is all part of the immune system. It all works in the same way. So the idea of Lashon Hara is a penetration of Reach, essentially, which is why the Keteres is Mechaper. Now, the Mishnah says that we had in Kalim, where it discusses the various Dargas of Kedusha. So it says over there that Porshin Mibein Olam V'Lemizbeach B'Sha'at HaKtara. So during the time that we are actually bringing the Keteres, everybody has to get away, not only from inside of the Heichal, but even from the area which is Bein HaOlam V'Lemizbeach. So that, the question is, how then does this whole thing work? I mean, if we say he's supposed to be on the Rovad HaRaviit, the Rovad HaRaviit is Bein HaOlam V'Lemizbeach. And now we're saying that you're not allowed to be in that area. That's 22 Amas. That's obviously way beyond the Rovad HaRaviit. So if that's the point, then this whole discussion doesn't seem to make much sense. Omar Rabbi Elazar, you don't understand, that's not talking about the actual Haktorah on Yom Kippurim, which you're worried about. That's talking about the Haktorah, the normal Haktorah of the morning and the afternoon that is done inside of the Heichal, but it's not done Lifnai V'Lifnim. So therefore, like this, where we were burning the Keteres in the Heichal. So there the Rabbanan were geyser, that even though the Torah itself said that you need to be Misrachik from the Heichal itself, so the Rabbanan made an additional harchok. Don't even get close to the Heichal. Stay away from the whole area of Bein HaOlam V'Lemizbeach. But in a case where the Etzem HaKtorah was being done Lifnai V'Lifnim, over there, you're so far away from the place where the Haktorah is taking place. Over there, we did not make the Gezerah to extend into that area. So because of that, even though you might have thought intuitively that the Haktorah, Lifnai V'Lifnim, is more Chamur, and therefore we should be able to make even a bigger Gezerah to be further away, the opposite is true. The Gezerah is only to be Misrachik from the Mokum that the Haktorah is being done. So therefore, at the time of the Haktorah, Lifnai V'Lifnim, Over there, the halacha is you only need to get people outside of the heichal. You do not need to remove the presence of another person from Beinu Olam v'Lamizbeach. Over there, lo parsha. So this is how Rabbi Elazar understood the entire concept. So now everything makes perfectly good sense. We have the Kohen who is being memaris as Hadam. He is Beinu Olam v'Lamizbeach. And this is going to be going on at the time that the Kohen Gadol is being mocked here, the Keteres, Lifnai v'Lifnim, and Lifnai v'Lifnim, we never made a gezerah on standing Bein Olam v'Lamizbeach. Masiv Rav Ada Bar Ava, so Rav Ada Bar Ava did not like the way that Rabbi Elazar defined the idea of Prisha mi Bein Olam v'Lamizbeach. So some say it was Rav Ada Bar Ava who attacked him, others say that we don't know exactly, but it was Kedi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, so here's the problem. It says in the Brayta, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kishem Sheporshim Mibein Olam Lemizbeach Bishat Haktara, Kein Porshim Bishat Matan Par Kohen Mashiach, Upar Helam Shodova, Par Helam Dover Shod Sibur, Visirei Avodat Kochavim. So in the same way that we need to be Poresh from, now we thought, that the idea over here is, we'll see why we thought that. But we made an assumption that when it says, in the same way that you need to get away B'Sha'at HaKtara, we made the assumption that the B'Sha'at HaKtara that's mentioned here is the Sha'at HaKtara of Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom HaKippurim. We'll see why we made that assumption. But you should know that even B'Sha'at Matan Damim, of the karbonis that are brought lifnim, now they're certainly not brought lifnai v'lifnim. They're brought lifnim, meaning in the heichal. So they're sprinkled. Those karbonis, the par helam dover shel tzibur, the par kohen mashiach, the par the seirei avodah zarah shel tzibur, all of those are sprinkled on the mizbeach hapnimi and on the parochet, towards the parochet, but not lifnai v'lifnim. And you might have thought that there was no din of prisha from the heichal or from the ulam v'lamizbeach at that time. The halacha is any carbon that was brought lifnim, including the par olam dover shel tzibur, seirei avodah zarah, and of course, it just points out, including the zrika bifnim of the karbonos of Yom Kippur, even when they're being done bifnim and not lifnai v'lifnim, that is all still going to be mechayev prisha. Now, here's the part that concerns us, why we're good thought, and why we made the assumption that this is a raya, that you need to be perish ben olam l'mizbeach at the time of the haktar lifnai v'lifnim, because of this strange continuation of the braisa. The braisa says like this, so I ask you, ha-ma ma'ala yesh, so if I'm telling you that anyway you're supposed to go not only from inside of the Heichal, but you also have to go out from Beinu Olam v'Lamizbeach, so then I'll bet you think that there's no difference in terms of the Chiyuvim, that the Heichal should be more Mikudash, because I give you now the sense that it's all the same, right? So you're looking at me, you're saying, so then, I mean, what about the chashivas of the heichal? So what's the chashivas of the heichal over Bein Olam v'Lamizbeach? I'll tell you, there still is. Ela shebeichal porshin bein b'sha'at haktara u'bein shelo b'sha'at haktara. The difference is this, that in the actual heichal, you can't be there at all. Whether the Kohen is bringing the k'teres, or whether the Keteres is already brought, but he's being Zerik the Dam. And over there, as we said, until he walks out, nobody else is allowed to be there. Masha Enkein, Mibein Olam v'Lamizbeach. Over there, you only have to be Perish, B'Sha'at HaKtara. Now, I'm assuming that that means that B'Sha'at HaKtara is B'Sha'at HaKtara Lifnai v'Lifnim, and you do have to be Perish. I mean, I'm assuming that is referring, we'll see why it's so clear I should make that assumption. My love, B'Sha'at HaKtara D'Lifnai V'Lifnim. Because, I mean, look, if you're telling me that I have to go out B'Sha'at HaKtara or Shelo B'Sha'at HaKtara, so then there's something else that I'm doing, all right? What is the Shelo B'Sha'at HaKtara? I'm assuming that that is referring to the Avodas Hadam. Now, it is not true to say that if the Avodas Adam is being done in the Heichal, that you do not need to be Parish Mibein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, which we just said beferish, that anything, even the Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur, if that's being done in the Heichal, you do have to be Parish from Mibein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, right? Didn't we just say that? So how could we possibly understand that the meaning over here is that you don't have to go away from Mibein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach while the Matan Dam is being done in the Heichal? Can't mean that. We just said you do have to be Parish. So therefore, it's got to be referring to Lifnai V'Lifnim. And it's Gufa telling me that in the Haktorah Lifnai V'Lifnim, you have to be Parish, even Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach. Not like Rebbe Lazar. But for the Zrikas Dam, that's Lifnai V'Lifnim, that you only have to be Parish from the Heichal. That's why we just understood the whole sugya. But if that's the case, then it's clearly not going like what Rebbe Lazar said. Says the Gemara, no, that is not what it means. It's referring to the Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal, not to the Shas HaKtorah of Lifnai V'Lifnim. So now we have the obvious question. So then how could you say Shelo V'Shat HaKtorah if that can't be true? Ihachi, asks the Gemara. So then how do you read the rest of the Braita? If you are referring to the case of the HaKtorah only in the Heichal, not Miflai V'Lifnim, so then read me those words and explain them. Oh, the Braita says, so then what's more chomor about the Heichal than about the Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach? What do you mean, what? Then the whole point is that it's different, no? When you're bringing me this crazy idea, the difference is whether it's Peshas Matan Damim, you should have said the big difference. The big difference is Ika Hamala, like you just said. From the Heichal, you have to go out whether the Kohen is involved in doing the Haktor Lifnai V'Lifnim or in the Heichal Gufa. But Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, you only have to go out, the way Rebbe Lazar says, at the time of B'Shas HaKtorah, the Heichal. And you don't have to leave that area when we are doing the HaKtorah Lifnai V'Lifnim. I mean, that's the most powerful difference. It's ridiculous to find some small difference between the Shazrika and the what does that have to do with anything? And it isn't even true besides that, as we already showed you. It's not even true to say if you're talking about in the Heichal. So the whole thing breaks down, says the Gemara. That's because you read the whole thing wrong. According to Rebbe Lazar, that's exactly what it is saying. Akatani. That's what it means when it says, Ella, what's the Mila? The Mila is that Shebaichal, Porshin Bein Bishat Haktara, Bein Shelo Bishat Haktara. Ubibein Haolam V'Olam Mizbeach, Ein Porshin Ella Bishat Haktara. What do you think that means? Bein b'shat haktara, bein shelo b'shat haktara means whether it's in the shas haktara of the Heichal, or whether it's not in the shas haktara of the Heichal, but it's rather at the time of the haktara in the Kodesh HaKadashim. That's exactly what it's saying. So that is what you have to be purged from at all of those times if you're in the Heichal. Ba'she'en kein bein olam v'olam mizbeach, you only have to be purged b'shas haktara in the Heichal itself. It never was talking about Dam. It had nothing to do with Dam, obviously. Couldn't have been referring to the Dam, as we said. Because B'Shas Matan Domim, even if it's not Yom Kippur, I mean, talking about Stam, a Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur, you will have to be Purish, even from the Olam V'Olam Mizbeach. That's brought in this in the Heichal. Basically, the rule is that if you're close by, in other words, if standing Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach is close to the Mokum, where the avoda is being done that you're supposed to be avoiding, so then the Rabbana made a gzera to be misrachik from that place. If Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach is not close, because the avoda is being done all the way inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Rabbana did not make a gzera, that's all. It's very straightforward. The whole point of the Brice is to tell you what I'm saying, says Rebbe Lazar. Where'd you get the idea that Bein B'Shas HaKtorah, Bein Shelo B'Shas HaKtorah is a reference to the Zrikas Hadam? It means Bein B'Shas HaKtorah in the Heichal, Bein Shelo B'Shas HaKtorah in the Heichal, but in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the whole point. Wait, just wait a second. But then, I mean, there is also an additional Mila that it didn't list, right? Because, I mean, if the rule is that when you're up close, so then the Rabbanan were marking you further away. So then that would be true about the dam, right? I mean, you said it's true about the dam. You said that if you're bringing, even not on Yom Kippur, you're still bringing a korban inside of the heichal, like Seirei Avodah Zarah or something like that, so that you have to be purish mibeinu olam v'lam mizbeach, right? And if you're doing the zrikas dam inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then you don't have to be purish mibeinu olam v'lam mizbeach. So now, I mean, if you're telling me, Rebbe Elazar, that we never made the reference to the dam, so why don't we? We should make the reference to the dam. That is, after all, another level that the heichal we're more careful about than we are of the Bein Olam and the Mizbeach on the Zrikas Adam, Lifnai v'Lifnim. So why not mention it? Ha'ika ha'mala. That from the Heichal, the din would be that you have to be Poresh, whether you're doing its own Kedusha, meaning its own Zrikas Damim, or whether you're doing Zrikas Damim of Karbonas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Masha Ein Kein, Bibeino Olam V'Lam Mizbeach, you only have to be Poresh on the Zrikas Dam that is being done inside of the Heichal. Lo parshiela b'kedusha de'echal. But when you're doing zrikas dam of the par and the sar on Yom Kippurim, you do not have to be parish mibeinu olam hazeh. Why did you answer? Why did you mention that? Oh, my Rava, what's the point of mentioning that? This is silly. Well, obviously, once we've established the yisod of v'bo olech haper, there's no difference between the keteres and the zrikas adam. Why? It's a separate mila that in the heichal you don't, you have to be parish at the time of the zrikas dam and not in the Bein Olam V'Lam Mizbeach. It's the same din. There's one halacha that the Heichal has above and beyond the Chumrah Bein Olam V'Lam Mizbeach. Namely, that the Prisha for Kapora, I don't care whether it's the Kapora of the Dominant, doesn't make a difference in the Pasuk. Pasuk just says, B'vo L'Chaper. What did it start listing? Once I've established that B'vo L'Chaper in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is only Mechayev Eyitziah from the Heichal and not Bein Olam V'Lam Mizbeach, and b'vo'o l'chaper in the heichal is mechayev min rabbanan, a yitzia also mi bein olam v'lam mizbeach, I've now handled it. I'm going to sit there and tell you that it's all, oh, there's also this other big chumrah, namely in the time that you have to go away in the zrikas adam between the heichal and the, I mean, why not? Obviously. Omar Rav, Hashem prisha, achati, all we're coming to do is to establish that when you are poresh, in the Heichal, you're Purish from the Aveda, even Lefnai v'Lefnim. And when you're Purish, Bibeinu Olam V'Lam Mizbeach, you're Purish even if it's in the Lefnai v'Lefnim. Okay.
Okay, so Rebbe, we have a new understanding. When Rebbe reaches for the bottle and picks it up, Rebbe's body is saying, I need to drink. Then Rebbe says, I'm in the middle of explaining something, I can't drink now, and it goes back down. But the body needs it, and instead it grinds. So let's make an inyan that once the bottle is touched and picked up, it Rebbe has to be mashling the move and not put it back down. Once picked up, it has to be drunk.
I don't understand. We're in the middle of the sugya of the guy holding the dam, and he's just memaris the dam. And he bedavka does not use the dam at that point. And in that mishnah is where you want to be mechayev me this?
Yeah,
the opposite of the Mishnah.
Something will be done with it, but Rebbe puts it back down. If you continue holding it the whole time.
The only reason he can't. Wait a second. Now, what about Rebbe, the other part of the Mishnah? The machate. It says the machate you put down. He picks it up and he puts it down a la Rovat Aravias.
Liquid to liquid, not liquid to coals. Rebbe's trying to rake me over the coals. It won't work.
Yalfina, I see. Okay, that's a tiny. All right, Amama. Now, back in the beginning of this brayta, you said, "Kach porshin bishat matan par kon Mashiach parom davashat sibur siire avodes kochavim." I mean, how do you know that? I mean, you're telling me that there is obviously you're saying bivein olam v'lam zver. That's the rabbanon. I can't ask you how you know that. That's a gezera. But I mean, how do you know the ikur yisod that there's an issur d'oraisa doing? Coming into the Heichal, that what? We learn out from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So you're going to apply that to like any korban that's brought b'fnim? How do you know? Minolan. Amrevi Pidaz, we learn that out from Gzere Shava. Kapara, kapara, it says, B'vo'o l'chaper ba'kodesh ad seito, v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito, right? Ba'ad kol, and so on and so forth. Ba'ad kol, basically, it's all at the end. But it also says in each one of these karbanos that I'm bringing, it says the same lashon. So when it's talking about over here, the par helam davar shel tzibur, it uses the lashon v'chiper alayam hakohen v'nitzlach lahem. When it's talking about Sirei Avodah Zarah, it says v'chiper hakohen al kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Note the language, the similarities, b'chlal. And so certainly we can learn out kapara, kapara. So if no one's allowed to be there in the Heichal, b'vo'u l'chaper, the same thing would be true, b'vo'u l'chaper in these kaporas. Says it over there too. Omariv Adabarava, you know, I learn a tremendous thing from this. Because, I mean, I used to think that when we learned the Mishnah in the beginning of Kalim, that went through like all the different madrigas, right? So we had that mamish in the first parak. The end of the first parak was talking about the different madrigas of Kedusha. So we said over there that we have the Harabayas, we have the Chel, and we have the Ezra's Noshim, and then we have the Ezra's Yisrael, the Kohanim. Ezra Yisrael, Ezra Skarnim, then we had the Bein Olam of Mizbeach, then we had the Heichal, then we had the Fa. I used to think that some of those things were essentially Darabonans. So that, because, I mean, certainly the halachas, some of the halachas that apply to those things are Darabonan. Let's say the Isser of that we asked about Gary in the Azara and so on. I mean, there's things that we added with Darabonan, for sure. That was we said the Shah HaKadash. So I thought that the distinctions in the Mishnah, the different milos of Kedusha, the Esser milos of Kedusha, I thought that they were not necessarily the Raisa. Certainly, I mean, to say that there's a different Kedusha, Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, and the rest of the Esser, I mean, where would we get that from? Now I realize that the whole sugya must be Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, and that those milos are actually the Raisa. And these were actually a Kabbalah, a Lachan Mishim Sinai, even though obviously we don't have a Mokar in the Torah for a different level of Kedusha, Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach. But there must be such a Mokar in terms of a Lachan Mishim Sinai. Why do I say that? I just realized it now. Because based on what we just learned in this Bright Time, you're going to tell me that the whole concept of a new level of Kedusha is all Midrabbanan. That would mean that Midiraisa, the entire Azorah, has the same level of Kedusha, starting from Shar Niknor, going all the way up to the Heichal, right? So how could the Rabbanan, if the whole deal is the Rabbanan, once we're going to make a Takana, how can you limit the Takana to an artificiality that was constructed by the Rabbanan? If you hold that there's a Gezerah, that we don't want people to be close to the Heichal, so then that means don't allow people to be in the Azara, because there's no difference between one spot in the Azara and any other spot in the Azara. So Maishna Beino Olam Mizbeach, that we made a Gezerah because of Dilma Mikru V'Aile, people may be so excited, maybe they're going too far. I mean, then he shouldn't be in the Azara at all, Dilma Mikru V'Aile, because it's all one halacha, isn't it? So the Gemara, no, it's logistics, man. Why understand? Why do you say that just because theoretically it's considered to be Midiraisa, the same space? So because of that, I'm mechuyev to make the same takana. Why am I mechuyev? The point is I'm trying to avoid accidental entry. So it becomes a logistical question. If I'm Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, there's nothing between me and the Heichal. That's the point. If I'm anywhere else in the Azorah, I see, oh my gosh, I'm still out here by the Mizbeach. I better not go further in. So over there, I already have a built-in reminder. That's the point. You can't tell me that proves that it's all Diraita. Therefore, I would say that where you're talking about Bein Olam V'Olam Mizbeach, where Kimadolo Mifsike Midi, there's nothing between me and the Isser. Okay? Lo Min Kara Milta. It's not at all clear. And I may accidentally indeed do it. But Azara, if I'm already out in the rest of the Azara, I know that I'm in the area of the Mizbeach, or even before the Mizbeach, and I see it in front of me. So Kivan De'ika Mizbeach HaChitzon, which is Mafsik, so therefore Min Kara Milta. So the Rabbanan make a Takana where it's necessary to make. Over here, if I have a heker, well, I'm chuyev to do it because technically speaking, it's all the same kedusha. It has nothing to do with difference of kedusha. It has to do with the difference of the chashash. That's all. And maybe the whole idea of the ma'ala bein olam ha'mizbeach indeed is a drabbanan. So you cannot prove that there is a halacha l'meshem Sinai that gave birth to that mishnah in Kelim. Omar Rava. Another thing I see from this sugya, says Rava, is that we treat the ulam and the hechal as if it's all one level of kedusha. Because, I mean, basically, if there's an iser in being in the hechal, then there's also an iser of being in the ulam. I'll tell you why. Because if the ulam itself is not considered to be the same as the hechal, and it has different din of kedusha, the yisak adaitach shtei kedushas ninu, so then how would we make a gzera le gzera? Ulam gufa gzera. You're telling me that the ulam itself does not have the din of the hechal. Okay, so why do we have to leave that area? Obviously, because the Rabbanon were gezer. So now we're going to make a gezer like gezer that even from the Mizbeach up until the Ulam, where the Ulam itself is not even an Isser D'oraisa. I'm going to make another gezer. Anan Nekom and Igzer gezer like gezer. Must be, therefore, that the Ulam itself is not a Takona, it's the Ikra Din. Whatever is the Din of the Heichal, that's the Din of the Ulam. That doesn't necessarily follow. What if the ulam is exactly the same kedusha as the bein ulam for the mizbeach? So then it's not the gezera le gezera. I mean, why are you assuming? You're right, Rava. Definitely, there needs to be one and the other, the main one and the gezera. So you're saying the main one is the echal ulam. The gezera is bein ulam for the mizbeach. How about if I do it the other way? The main one is the echal. And the second is Beino Ulam Lemizbeach, including the Ulam itself, which is all the same Kedushas. How do you know which way to look at it? There's only one step. You're right. But now you've defined arbitrarily what the one step is. Okay, we understand why Rava didn't want to go that way, because, I mean, the Ulam itself is on such a different, I mean, you have all the stairs going up to the Ulam, it's not so pushy that people are going to see that area as one whole area. But technically speaking, you cannot prove it. Okay, now let's get back to the rest of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said there's a lot of differences because on a normal day, when you were bringing the Ketores, you would use a shovel that was made out of silver, not out of gold. Why is that? I mean, aren't we makpid to have beautiful things in the Beis HaMikdash? We are. But HaTorah chasa amamonam shel Yisrael. Remember that we talked about at the dinim of the tzaraz that we're learning in the Goyim, that the Torah is v'makpid to make sure that you get everything out of the house. We need to get everything out of the house before the Kohen says it's tameh, just take it to the mikveh afterwards. It means to get the throwaway dishes out of the house, which don't have tyre of the mikveh, which is a reference to klicheres. Come on. I mean, what does it cost? You're going to waste, a couple of cents on some throwaway dishes. So the Torah is teaching you that, yes, we don't like wasting money. And if this is Klal Yisrael's money, we don't want to waste it. So that's the case that we learn from there, that we should not use a beautiful gold shovel to rub away the gold by being choter ashes in the Mizbeach, which is going to destroy it. We don't do that. Hayom choter b'shal zahav, but today we do. And he uses the zahav to be machni, so why is that? I thought we don't want to do that. No, that's b'shum chol shel kohen gadol. So to start pouring from one shovel to the next shovel, we don't do on Yom Kippurim. Bechol Yom, we said Bishel Arba'at Kabin, and he pours them into three Kabin, and one Kav scatters. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's always a saw, which is Shisha Kabin, and he pours them from the saw into the Shalosh Kabin. Now, that's very strange, because there is a Mishnah in Tamid that doesn't seem to work this out at all. It says over there, Nitpazru lo kav gechalim mechabdam la'ama. So he ends up with one kav that scatters, right? And then he takes a broom and he shovels them into the ama of water that is going through the azara. And that is taken away. Otherwise, somebody could get burned on it. So now, the problem is that in the Braita, it says, Tani chodakav, v'tani lech kabayim. So the Lashon of Mishnah and Tamid was a kav. But the bright over there on Tamid, there's a man, the Omar, who says two kav. Two kav? Nobody holds two kav. I mean, Bishlam Ahachtotani kav. I understand. The one who says kav is going like the Rabbonan, who argue on Rabbi Yossi, and they say it's a difference between four kav and three kav. And not like Rabbi Yossi, who says six kav and three kav. But who is the Shita that would say that two kav get scattered? Ahachtotani kavayim isn't going to anybody. Not the Rabbonan and not Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbonan, it's one kav. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's three kav. Amrav Chista, it is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel Beno, show Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. But Tanya, the Braita says that Rabbi Shmuel Beno, show Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, doesn't change how much you took off of the Mizbeach. He's not involved in the Machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. What he changes is how large is the Machta that you would bring into the Hecha. And he says you use not a three kav shovel, but a two-kav shovel. So that means that we poured the four-kav of the Rabbanan into two-kav, in which case you have two-kav that scatters. So there we meet for the first time the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Or Ravashi says, no, there's no need to say this. It could be regular going like Rabbi Yossi, and I'll explain to you what the point is. You're right. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's six-kav, and therefore if it's six-kav, how do we get the idea of two-kav? It's really three-kav. Because the Braita is brilliantly pointing out to you the change in the definition of a kav in the passage of time. Remember, we had the Midbari measurements and we had the Yerushalmi measurements. We added 1/5, which is a sixth from the total, to our measurements later on, as we've gone through many, many times. Therefore, it could work out very well. Afilatem Rebios. The two kav was said by Rabbi Yossi, and what he was trying to teach you was like this. When he said sa'a, you know what sa'a he meant? He meant a sa'a midbarit, because that was the mocker of the original size that we used. We used the sa'a. But that sa'a midbarit, which is six kav, when we added to the midos, remember, became five of the new kav, which is five kavim Yerushalmiot. Then he takes the five kavim Yerushalmiot and he pours it into the three kavim. Now he wants you to realize that the three kav that was referred to is not three kav midbariot, it's three kav Yerushalmiot, in which case there would be two Yerushalmi kavim left to be scattered into the Amma. Beautiful. So he managed to give us over that entire idea. The normal Ketoret shovel was heavy. Tana It was made with much thicker metal. And today it was made of thin metal. And why is that? Because we want the Kohen Gadol to be able to use his arm to support. Remember, he has to carry everything in himself. So and he shouldn't get not completely worn out. There's a braita that says, what exactly is niyashtik? So Rashi learns that a niyashtik is a ring on the top, on the handle, that would make noise as he came in. And the makor of this would be v'nishma kolo b'voel hakodesh. Because since he cannot wear the me'il today, because he's wearing his big day lavan, so what is going to be the kolo b'voel hakodesh? It's not nice to walk in without a warning into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, he had this little ring that would actually ring. Okay, there's many other pshatim in niyashtik. Some learn niyashtik means a cover. So that usually it was left open. But over here, since you don't use it right away and you put it down on the Rovat HaRaviyas, so they might end up cooling off. You don't want them to cool off. Or another pshat in niyashtik is that it's a leather handle. Because if you didn't have something to protect the coin from heat, then since this thing has been sitting there for a while, the heat is going to move from the coal all along the handle, because it's metal, So it's going to move all along the machateh. How in the world is the kohen going to pick it up if it's going to be hot? So because of that, it means that the yashtik is like a leather cover. The Yerushalmi asks, but then it's a chatzitza. So how could you use a potholder? You're not allowed to have a chatzitza between the kli. And the Yerushalmi answers that they fastened it with nails, which made it part of the actual kli, and therefore wasn't a chatzitza. So the chol yom lo hayal nishtat niyashtik, and hayom hayal niyashtik, divrei ben hasgan. Another difference is b'chol yom hayah zahava yarok. It used to be made out of yellow gold, and today it was made out of this very expensive red gold, or red gold that is similar to the dam hapar. Omer of chista shiv'a zahavinein, we find in the psukim seven different mentions of gold. So we have, first of all, we just have plain gold, and then we have the pasuk identifying certain gold as tov. We have zahav ofir referred to. We have zahav mupaz, which seems to mean particularly shiny. We have zahav shachut, which means it's very soft, as we'll see, and can be turned into very thin threads. We have zahav sagur, which we'll explain what that means. And then we have zahav parvayim, we find in Divrei HaYomim. So what are these things? So Zahav and Zahav Tov, that's right there in the beginning of Bereishis. It says Zahav Haaretz Ahi Tov, mashma, that there is regular Zahav, and then there is Zahav Tov. Okay, so that's our first two. Zahav Ophir, that is referred to in Tanakh, is the Zahav that comes from Ophir, which was obviously very choshebik, Shlomo HaMelech. It says that he would send these ships to be bringing Zahav from Ophir, so must have had a very special chashivas. We have Zahav Mupaz, because it's very, very doma lapaz. Rashi says paz means like pearls. So it has this particular shine in it. Zahav Shachut is because it can be turned into a thread, which was important because we needed to include, remember, the chut of Zahav with the chutim of the Techeles and the Argaman and so on. So it means it can be spun. So this is, what's his name? Rapunzel? So this is Rapunzel's kind of gold.
Rapunzel's skin.
Okay, very good. It sounds like the correct name for it. Then we have Zahav Sagur. What is that? That's the gold that as soon as the shop opens selling that, all the other shops close down because nobody's interested in buying any second-class gold. So kol hachanuyot nizgarot. And then we have Zahav Parviyim is because it's dome ledam parim, and that's what we were talking about here. So that's the gold. So we were talking about how many different types of gold there are. And we had darshan six different types because we had also the pasuk of Zahav Haaretz Ahi Tov to tell me that there were two types of Zahav, one normal Zahav and one Zahav Tov. But Rav Ashi says, no, there's actually five different types of gold, but each one of them has the variation of the higher quality and the lower quality. So basically, there's Chamisha Hein of types, and then the other one, Zahav Tov versus Zahav, is not a different type of gold. It's a different level of refinement in each one of these kinds of gold. So each one of them has Zahav and Zahav Tov. Tanyanami Ochi. And this is basically, we see that there was the Tanyanami Ochi is referring to Parvayim, that the Loshen is Dam Parim, that is based on our Sugya. Because here it says, B'chol yom hayah zahava yarok. It used, every day we used for the kli of the machta that we're bringing in, we used a yellow gold. And today we use a red gold. V'hainu zahav parviyim shedom ledam parim. And this, we see indeed, backs our contention that the lashon of parviyim is that it's similar to the parim. And that's good for why we want to use that color gold on Yom Kippur.